Aloha from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast.
Hello, everybody. It's Friday, December the 17th. I'm Todd Cochran, your host for the show today. As always, I guess. I don't know why I say that. I'm always your host. But anyway, it's very, very late here. I've had one of those just absolutely full days. It started out this morning going in first thing and getting an optometry appointment. And the doctor went in, and of course he decided I needed a little higher prescription on my reading glasses. And then he proceeded to put some of those eye drops in my eyes and made my eyes dilate. So I couldn't read anything for half the morning, and made me useless basically at work, because I was wearing these big black sunglasses that they provide for you. And then at around 11, I had to go see my neurosurgeon, and had good news from that front. And basically, he's about ready to give me a 100% clean bill of health, but I have to go back and get a CAT scan to check out. Make sure that my vertebrae has completely fused. And if that's the case, he's going to cut me loose to PT and do all those kinds of things that I need to be doing to keep the weight off. But then we recorded the interview that you probably have already heard or will hear, depending on the sequence that your podcasting software or podcatcher, iPod or JPod or whatever you may be using, captured the shows today. And we had a great time with Hector Santos from Santronics. And as I promised you on that show, I am getting this show finished up quite late here, so that it'll be ready for pickup Friday morning, which is December the 17th. And I got a half day of work tomorrow, then a Christmas party. You know, it's a holiday period. It's atypical stuff, staying real busy. But as always, we want to encourage you to leave comments about the show and drop us a line at geek@geeknewscentral.com, or you call us on Skype at Geek News Central, or call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. Now, even though it is quite late here tonight, I am expecting a phone call from an associate that is overseas. He's got some issues, and I am his technical guru, and he'll probably be calling me. So if the phone rings during this thing, don't be surprised. But I want everyone to check out podcasthost.com. It is a site that is being built, and we're quite fortunate that they are offering up some of our older feeds on with BitTorrent seeds. So you guys can, if you want to go check that out. I've got the shows now being seeded in two or three different mirror spots, and I've pointed some users that way to kind of offload some of the load that I've had on the server. But for right now, everything's been good. Our numbers are up, guys. You know, you're all tuning in, and we greatly appreciate that. But with increased numbers come increased bandwidth. So that being said, we're still looking for some more sponsors. So if you want to sponsor the Geek News Central podcast, drop me a line. We did do some revision to rates now for independents and podcasters and web bloggers. We're still going to have a nice flat rate of $20 for two shows, but we had some bites from some other type of companies, and I wasn't about to let a a large company have an advertisement for $20. I just didn't think it was fair. If they're a bigger company, they're going to pay more, and that's just going to have to be the pure economics of it. We're going to keep it cheap for independents and web bloggers, just because that's the way it has to be. And I don't, you know, I'm just trying to pay for the bandwidth, folks. But anyway, that being said, let's queue up and have a word from our sponsor.
Blogging, welcome to the year 2005. RightClick has released the first 100% WYSIWYG blogging software, available at www.rightclick.com.au. It is fully Windows-based and does everything you would expect from a Windows application. Features like drag and drop, saving files locally, working offline, and it's easy to use. As long as you can upload your files, nothing is required on the server. All the FTPing is built into the Publish button. Take a look at www.rightclick.com.au and you will see software that lets you embed images in your blog entry just as if you put them in a document. No more IMG tags, just insert the picture. Our software isn't for Robert Scoble or Dave Wiener. They already know how to do all the complex stuff. Simply write what you want to publish, attach images and files just as you were sending email, and then click Publish. Even your brother can publish now. Everything is 100% WYSIWYG. You can use the inbuilt style sheets or style sheets compatible with Movable and other popular blogging tools. There is no more need to edit HTML tags. You won't even know they ever existed. Even if you are hooked on your current server software, maybe you know someone who is willing to try our software. They'll be happy they did. We have an extensive trial period and pay a 25% commission, or more if you mention Geek News Central. www.rightclick.com.au. Don't forget the little AU at the end for Australia. We will even give you a free Gmail account while supplies last.
Major thanks to rightclick.com.au. And please check their site out. And now let's get... Oh, I have one last administrative thing. I'm sorry, guys, but hey, I've kind of initiated a thing on the website. It's called Showcase Site of the Day. And I know a lot of people are linking to the site. We see it in the referral logs. So what we'd like to do is make an offer to you. If you're linking to our site, send me an email with a short write-up of your site and the site name, what you write about, what the website, so even if it's a personal web blog, and drop it to me. And what I'm going to do, what I've got is I've got a folder in my email basket that basically I'm picking you guys off one day at a time, picking the next show in the sequence. So if you want a little free traffic from us and a little free promotion, as a thank you for linking to us, we're going to basically showcase your site for the day. Now, in news, there was a great security article, and it's not, you know, it's very common sense items. Bruce Shiner wrote a, it's about... Oh, he's probably got a dozen items on here of things that you can do to make your computing experience more secure. And it's just some basic recommendations. So I'll have the link up for it. Go ahead and check that out. Doppler, they released, and for those of you who don't know what Doppler is a podcatching software. They have released candidate number two, or actually it's Doppler 2.0 release candidate one is available for download. It's they've added some things where you're going to be able to have multi-threaded. It's going to resume downloads when it's broke. It's got a mini aggregator in it. It'll convert MP3 files to M4B. Now I'm not I'm going to have to read about that a little bit because I don't understand the purpose in doing that. I guess it's something to do with bookmarks. Has a it's handling BitTorrents a little better and has a catch-up type of selection for catching up on all feeds when you've been on travel. I've been jumping back and forth between iPodder and JPodder, and I think I'm going to give Doppler a try because iPodder continues to give me some troubles and so does JPodder. So I know everybody's working real hard on these podcasting catching tools. So hopefully they will, with time, get some of these little bugs worked out. But, you know, all in all, everyone's doing a great job. Now, there is a new Unfolio is available. Unfolio is a RSS aggregator. I purchased the actual first product that they released and was real happy with it. And I haven't used it in a while, so I'm going to go over to, I'm going to actually download the beta and check it out. And I encourage you guys to do the same thing. And I kind of would like a little feedback from everybody on what type of aggregators you're using. Maybe we can do a rough poll and get an idea on the head count on what everyone prefers in the RSS aggregation department. Now, NASA today, they're getting into the podcasting business, and they have a RSS feed up with the enclosures. So we'll give you the link to the enclosure site, and you can start, for you guys who are science buffs, you can kind of check out some of the cool stuff that NASA is putting up for podcasts. It didn't take those guys too long, you know, a lot of smart people over there. Now, I had to laugh, you know, I didn't really laugh, because everyone's data is important, you know, we all have our computers set up, and we have certain things that we look at every day. I know that I use a couple of aggregators. One of them I use when I'm not going to be in a podcasting day, and another one I do when I am podcasting, just because one tool works better than the other. So unfortunately, it requires me to go out and hit sites twice sometimes during a day with each application with the same feeds. But you know, I back up all my RSS feeds, and I have OPML files set up so that I don't worry about a system crash, and I keep those offline on a different machine, or actually an external hard drive that I use as a part of my backup process. So there was a Mac user that it was using NetNewsWire, and they were not paying for it, I guess, initially, but the 30-day trial expired, and guess what? It dumped everything that they had put into it and set up. So the individual is aggravated beyond belief. But you know, I'm kind of wondering what kind of backup options are available with NetNewsWire, and why hadn't they backed up their feeds? You know, that's the, you know, if your information is that important to you, you need to do that. So. You can read the rant. I'll let you do that. Now, Microsoft is getting into the spyware business. And I kind of had to laugh. You know, they decided they were going to get in the firewall business too. But I with a raise of hands, how many of you out there are not using Microsoft's firewall and using something like Zone Alarm instead, or a Norton product, or one of the other firewalls that are out there? So what makes... Why do I think Microsoft is going to be anywhere more efficient in getting spyware off my computer than programs I'm already using? I think the jury's going to be out, and we'll see how they do. But I don't know. Maybe they're releasing a tool for the average bloke that is not using a current spy sweeper on their computer. And for those of you that are listening, I know I've said this 3 or 4 times. You know, get spyware, a remover software on your computer, and protect yourself. And I recommend Spy Sweeper by Webroot. That's one I've had the best luck with. And your mileage will vary. Some, you know, every Spy Sweeper program will miss one or two of the little items, or other ones will pick up. So it's good to have two Spy Sweepers on your, one that you run active and one that you run as a kind of every now and again. Well, the good ORIAA, they filed another 754 lawsuits against computer users. There must be something significant with 754, because it seems like that's the same number every month. You know, these poor SAFs are going to get a notice in the mail saying you pay us, or we're going to take you to court and put you in jail. Basically, is kind of what the threat is, but. You know, another 750 people are going to have to get their checkbooks out or face this the evil empire of the RIAA. So, up to this point, the recording companies have sued 7,704 computer users since September of 2003. That's just a crock. I'm sorry. Now, on another subject that I'm kind of familiar with because I do a lot of work with avionics systems, there's a talk about the government shutting down the GPS system. And I don't know if a lot of you know it, but initially when the GPS was put up, it was primarily set up for governmental use. And the accuracy for handheld devices for non-military applications wasn't real good in the beginning. You know, it got you in a general area, obviously. But while President Clinton was in office, he signed some sort of an executive authorization that allowed the accuracy of handheld devices to become more accurate. And of course, the military, they use some sort of encryption or whatever to get a better location than even what's available on handhelds. But there is a way in which the United States can shut off all of the non-encrypted side, basically. Everyone that has a handheld GPS that they use it in their car or in a any type of device on commercial airlines, they very well could be out of luck. So I think that's one of the reasons why the aviation industry has remained pretty adamant about having the not necessarily old style, but the traditional inertial navigation units remaining on aircraft, because the GPS is as great as it is, if Uncle Sam determines that there's a threat to the United States based upon something that they, you know, that something they figure out, they can shut, you know, and they figure out GPS is going to be utilized to attack or to be used against us, they're going to shut it down. You know, and I guess they're coming up with some way to shut it down quicker. So, I don't think it's going to go away. I just think it's one of those contingency things that the administration is going to use. I'm sorry, I'm yawning on you here. Is going to use in case something vital happens. But, you know, right now we know it's GPS is being used by a great number of us. I even have a little handheld myself. Enough on that. But the FCC is looking at allowing people to use cell phones and airplanes again. I never understood why they went with that. They said it interfered with electronics, and I think that's just hookah. I don't think that is if the systems on aircraft, which I've worked on in over the years, they are wires are shielded and everything's grounded good, and there should be no interference. Now they say they have proved that there is, and I don't know. I just don't see it. I guess if you had 100 people talking on their cell phones on an airline, it may cause an issue. But, you know, you think about what's happening there as you're flying. You know, an airplane's doing 500 knots, let's say, and, you know, you're basically crossing cell zones quickly, and cell towers are not designed to transition that way in a quick way. And I think that's more of the reason why they don't allow cell phones in to be used in aircraft than an issue of security or a danger to the aircraft. But they're also looking at wireless access for users and using the existing and making a change to the existing telephone systems that are in aircraft today, instead of going with the connection stuff by Boeing, where they have to spend about $500,000 per jet to install the equipment. But they're going to be allowed to do some modifications to their existing equipment to possibly get broadband on aircraft. Now, I don't know how fast that would be, but we'll figure it out. Those of you that are using Skype, there's a new beta available. They've made some improvements to chat and some other functions on it. So, I just wish they would build in an answer machine. I know two or three of you have sent me the links to the to the Skype answer machine, but I think we hound Skype enough, maybe they'll do that, but I'm keep my fingers crossed. All right, let's see here. Oh, for those of you that own .net, .net domain names, the ICANN is going to be issuing a 75-cent annual surcharge for those of us that are owning .net domains. So plan on spending a little more on your domain name renewal because of that. And I think they're looking to push that upon .com, .org, .biz, etc. And I'm not fully sure why. I don't know if this is a user fee that's, you know, basically helps ICANN raise money to build infrastructure, and I don't understand exactly what this levy is going to be used for, but we'll see. Now, Microsoft has released some patches on Tuesday, and I think we talked about it. I told everybody to go out there and do an auto update, but you know, they're getting some criticism because they released some patches and, oh, these are kind of, you know, mediocre flaws. But it turns out at least one of them was a critical patch to Windows XP Service Pack 2. It was critical, but Microsoft kind of, I don't know if they were trying to sweep it under the rug to kind of take attention off themselves. For a company that is saying that security is, you know, their number one issue, you know, why would they do that? Are they going, doing an about face on us here and changing their game plan? I just don't understand what they're doing. Okay, let's see here. I think I lost one of my pages. Let me refresh. Okay. There's a new generation of hacking tools utilizing going after wireless LANs. So any of you that are even running 802.11g, apparently what there is some new tools out there that are making it possible for a hacker to sit out there and sniff your network for a little while and create an actual, collect an actually low number of packets and be able to discover what the web key is. So if you're using the web key only with 802.11g or any of the other lower protocols, you may have a security issue. So I'll have the link up there. It's on a Ziff Davis entry. One of their bloggers wrote about it, so check out what they've had to say. Now, here we go again. Here is a new CD copy lock technology is getting ready to come on the market. And I kind of have to laugh because every time one of these CD locking programs are, basically they're building it into the CD. The last one they did, all we had to do was hit escape or something like that when you're loading a CD and it bypassed the security issues. But they said they went out there and fixed that, spent a bunch of money, and are going to start publishing music CDs with this new encryption on. Folks, we have a consumer right to say no. We're not going to buy CDs that are encrypted in a way that we're not able to make fair use copies for our own selves. I don't listen to CDs in my house anymore. I listen to MP3s being played on my iPod in my car using a iTunes FM transmitter. Or in the past when I didn't have an iPod, I was jacking my one of the earlier editions of MP3 players I had into it, I was jacking that into the audio. You know, I could play like 180 songs with one of my old MP3 players. You know, no CD changer in your car is going to hold that many songs. I don't get it. And I think they're starting to wake up because there is an article that talks about a conference that just happened. Let's see if I can go down here and find that. It basically talks about it's a private conference. It's not supposed to be blogged. And it's they hold this meeting every year in Aspen. And Seth Godin on his website has a pretty good article about what happened there. And he was at the conference. And maybe the music industry is starting to wake up. I don't know. But great read for those of you that care about what's going on in the music industry. All right, what's the next one I've got here? Okay, I'm looking at my show notes and also my Firefox browser here. Okay. Oh, Trillion 3.0 Beta Build 9.6.1 is out. For those of you that are running two or three Instant Messenger clients on your desktop, like either MSN Messenger, ICQ, or AOL, if you're running two or three of those, you need to check Trillion out. I've been using Trillion now for a year and a half, and it's the only thing I use for messaging. I don't have to use any other programs because it logs into all my accounts, and it's all managed under one piece of software. So go check the beta out, and it'd be a good opportunity for you to experiment with the application. All right. Hey, I've heard about this in the past where they've talked about, you know, satellites are really, really expensive to put up. You know, it's, thousands upon thousands of dollars per pound lift weight. But they're now finally getting smart and are going to they're talking about putting a stratoscopic broadband blimp. So basically a blimp would be either tethered or running around in circles. They haven't, really said how it's going to be set up, but it's basically going to be a data link. You know, it's going to perform the same function of a satellite, but over a very small area. So you know, it basically can it hovers up about 13 miles, and it can blink in an area the size of Texas with a high speed service. So that's pretty cool. You know, that's something to think about. That's a way to get dope. High-speed broadband to rural areas. So let's see if they do that. You know, I don't know if cost-effectiveness of it is. I'm sorry, folks. It is late here. So, okay, the last few items I have, and let's see if I can get this to load. All right, I already talked about that. For those of you that donated to the Firefox advertisement, it did get published in the New York Times today, and there's a pretty cool graphic up on what they did, and if you drill down into the PDF file, you can actually find your name. So I think that's pretty cool, and I wouldn't want to have been the one that would have had to parse all that data. That must have sucked. Now, those of you that are running movable type, Jay Allen over there, who is the creator of the MT Blacklist and also works for Six Apart now, which is the owners of Movable Type, and he was the one that primarily came up with the spam clearinghouse and solved some of the issues that most of us Movable Type users were having with comment and trackback spam. But they're finding that the spammers are hitting some of our servers so hard that it's caused issues on hosting accounts where you're sitting in a hosting account with 100 other websites, sucking up all the processor power of the computer. So some movable type sites had gotten shut down, and only through Six Apart's dedication and testing, they are about ready to release a patch that will fix some of this. But there still has to be a better way, folks. Jay, you know, I love you being able to clean that stuff out as it comes in, but there needs to be a way to stop them before they ever get to the point where we have to run an application to clean up the comment spam. There should be a way to actively engage these guys with some sort of window with letters that the user has to authenticate that he's a human being instead of a machine or something to that effect. But, you know, I just don't understand why that is such a hard issue. And today after the interview with Hector, I talked to him a little bit, and he basically said, hey, we got this built into Wildcat, and if I build this weblog module, you know, we're going to have the spam thing cured from day one. It's already built into the application. So I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Now, over on Blogarithms, Doug Kay's weblog, he has got a cool article about how much it costs podcasters or anyone else to deliver a one-hour program to a Signal listener. And he broke it down and basically did some averages, and he went out and find some high-volume servers. And what he came up with was that it would cost about, it's not even a penny. It's a half a cent. Between a half a cent and a penny to deliver a 1 hour file to each listener. So assuming that you've got 10,000 listeners or let's say 5,000, you're looking at 25 to 50 for 5,000 listeners per show, the cost of your bandwidth. So 10,000 listeners would be $50 to $100 per show. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with these numbers, because based upon my experience and what we're seeing for total listeners, what we're paying, of course, what we're paying for bandwidth is good too. So I don't know. I don't agree. I don't know if I agree with these numbers. So check it out and provide me some feedback and let me know if you think he did the math right and if he used a reputable host in a plan that was high end that was comparable to others. Let's see, where are we at in time? Let me look. We're at 31 minutes. Beautiful. We're about finished. I want to thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Geek News Central podcast. And we hope that you enjoyed the comment. And I apologize. The Tuesday show, I will be awake. But today has just been absolutely full. And I need to get this thing in the can and uploaded to the server. Now, I do have a comment. There were some people that were clamoring for WMA and OGG feeds, and you guys are running about 1% of the total downloads. So I need some feedback whether you guys want me to continue to post the WMA and the OGG files. Now I know some of you do, but I really do need to know if that's of use or if it's too much of a pain in the ass for you to convert an MP3 to whatever format that your MP3 player or whatever you're using to play back audio. So let us know. And it adds a lot of time to my show because it takes about, and I'd say it adds a half an hour to publishing everything. And I'd still try to keep this whole process down to about an hour, including uploading and getting the web posting up. So hour and a half is, at this point, kind of unacceptable to me unless I find a way to run a script and have it automated and do it while I'm sleeping. But I think that's it. 33 minutes, and we'll leave you with a little music from GarageBand.com. And be sure to visit that site and check it out. And always score some of that non-RIAA music and fill your iPod with it. And here you go.